Janna Balava Girivada Dari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Balava Girivada Dari Yashoda Nanana Pachajana Ranjana Yashoda Nanana Pachajana Ranjana Jamuna Tirabana Chari Jamuna Tirabana Chari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Jaya Radhe Shyam. Nitai go Haribo, 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 go Haribo. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Jai Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravachakacharya Asatana Kada Krishnada Sadhana Grace Kesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Natakurta Vaishnavita Kijai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai Prem Shikho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pavuna Chananda Shri Adwaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudeva Bhaktivedanta Kijai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopavina Shyam Kun Radha Kun Giri Govindam Kijai Vrindavan Ram Kijai Jamunamaya Gangamaya Kijai Bhakti Devi Kijai, Akadasi Kijai. All glories to some devotees. All glories to some devotees. All glories to some devotees. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, story of Jai and Vijay, how they gotten cursed to go to the material world, fight with Krishna. We're on text 30, the transliteration, etat, this departure, para, formerly, eva, certainly, nirdishtam, foretold, ramaya, by Lakshmi, krudhaya, furious, yada, when, para, previously, apavarita, prevented, dwari, at the gate, vishanti, entering, mai, as I, Uparate, was resting. Etapuraiva nirdishtam. Ramaya krutaya yadha. Pura pavarita dwari. Vishanti mayuparate. Somebody else? No, I'm good. Translation, purport, but she, well, no purport. Translation. This departure from Vaikuntha was foretold by Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. She was very angry because she left my abode and then returned. You stopped her at the gate while I was sleeping. Text 31. Mayi samram yayogena nishtirya brahmahelanam pratyeshyat tam nikakshame kalinal piyasa punaha. Translation, purport. The Lord assured the two Vaikuntha inhabitants, Jai and Vijay, by practicing the mystic yoga system in anger, you will be cleansed of the sin of disobeying the Brahmins and within a very short time return to me. The Supreme Personality of God had advised the two doorkeepers, Jai and Vijay, that by dint of bhakti yoga and anger, they would be delivered from the curses of the Brahmanas. Srila Madhva Muni remarks in this connection that by practicing bhakti yoga, one can become free from all sinful reactions. Even a Brahma shapa, or curse by a Brahmana, which cannot be overcome by any other means, can be overcome by bhakti yoga. One can practice bhakti yoga in the many rasas. There are 12 rasas, 5 primary and 7 secondary. The 5 primary rasas constitute direct bhakti yoga, but although the 7 secondary rasas are indirect, they are also counted within bhakti yoga if they are used in the service of the Lord. In other words, bhakti yoga is all-inclusive. If one somehow or other becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he becomes engaged in bhakti yoga, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.29.15, kamam krodham bhayam. The gopis were attracted by Krishna by bhakti yoga in a relationship of lusty desire, kama. Similarly, Kamsa was attached to bhakti yoga by dint of fear of his death. Thus, bhakti yoga is so powerful that even becoming an enemy of the Lord and always thinking of him can deliver one very quickly. It is said, Vishnu bhakti smito daiva asuras tad vipanyayaha. Devotees of Lord Vishnu are called demigods, whereas non-devotees are called asuras. But bhakti yoga is so powerful that both demigods and asuras can derive its benefits if they always think of the personality of Godhead. The basic principle of bhakti yoga is to think of the Supreme Lord always. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:65, man mana bhava mad bhaktaha, always think of me. It doesn't matter which way one thinks. The very thought of the person of Godhead is the basic principle of bhakti yoga. In the material planets, there are different grades of sinful activities, of which disrespecting a brahmana or a Vaishnava is the most sinful. Here it is clearly stated that one can overcome even that grave sin simply by thinking of Vishnu, not even favorably, but in anger. Thus, even if those who are not devotees always think of Vishnu, they become free from all sinful activities. Krishna consciousness is the highest form of thought. Lord Vishnu is thought of in this age by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. From the statements of the Bhagavatam, it appears that if one thinks of Krishna even as an enemy, that particular qualification, thinking of Vishnu or Krishna, cleanses one of all sins. Among Vishnu, Vanaya, Krishna, Stai, Bhutai, Shimati Bhakti, Vinanta, Swami, Tinam, Namaste, Sarasa, Devi, Govan, Vijaya, Shishi, Shimashat, Jadishita. So here we're getting a description of how purifying this process of bhakti yoga is, even in anger. But we shouldn't get confused that sometimes we find non-devotees, they get very, very angry at God. Oh, my God, why'd you do this? Oh, my God, why'd you do that? Why me? Why this? And this is condemnation of the Lord does not get them back home, back to Godhead, like this kind of anger. This is an anger that's been sanctioned by the Lord, and it's pleasing to the Lord. So the other kind of anger will simply get one more entangled in the material world and degrade oneself. Lower and lower. So we have to not mix these two together. Lord Chaitanya, actually, he made quite a bit of time to spend with Rupa Goswami describing the whole science of devotion. The nectar of devotion is what we have now in reference to this. And as we see the different waves of this ocean, the last waves are discussing these different rasas of here's discussing that there are the direct ones, the primary, and then the indirect ones, which anger is one of them. So this is an important thing. Otherwise, Lord Chaitanya wouldn't have spent the time, and Rupa Goswami surely wouldn't have written it all down. But it's for our benefit to hear about this, of how purifying this bhakti yoga process is, and how elevated rasas really are. I mean, to be so absorbed in anger of Krishna and be recognized by Krishna in a favorable way is pretty overwhelming. Definitely the non-devotees could not understand this. In this description of the anger in the nectar devotion about Mother Yasoda getting angry at Krishna, we all know the pastime, scolding Krishna. And this, you know, scared Krishna, but he enjoyed it. But another time when he was being chastised for making a big mess on the floor with all the butter after throwing it at the monkeys and everything, Krishna got angry at Mother Yasoda for chastising him. And I was in the garden with Prabhupada when the story was being read, and Prabhupada just relished hearing this. So you can imagine the pleasure that the Lord had getting angry at his mother because he passed urine on the floor. And that was like, okay, I'll get you back. And Papa was laughing so hard, I thought he was going to roll off the back of the bench. And then, of course, Radharani gets angry with Krishna because he's not given enough attention to her. And then Krishna very humbly apologizes to Radharani, but Radharani doesn't accept the apology. And so therefore the gopis, friends of Radharani, get angry at Radharani. What, look, he's apologizing. So this anger is coming from all different sides. Jarati, one of the elderly gopis, gets angry at Krishna when she realizes that on her daughter-in-law are all these different pieces of clothing from Krishna. And so this is... She makes this known to the public because of her anger. And then, of course, there are so many different times when Krishna gets angry. And, of course, the demons get angry. But these are loving sentiments, the ones with Krishna's pastimes, especially the younger pastimes. These are loving sentiments very highly transcendental platform, and they simply get deeper and deeper the more involved they get, because the Supreme Lord has a lovable relationship with everyone, and the more attached, the stronger that love becomes, because Krishna means all attractive, and so he can be attracted from all different directions in different ways. The material anger, though, it's described in Bhagavad Gita. We hear that it begins, how? Because one contemplates on these material senses. They're describing that, oh, I need this, I have to have this. And if you don't get it, then you get angry, right? And then from that angry, hatred comes. And then from that hatred, violence comes. I worked at the jail for many years with the ladies there. And most all of them were in there because of this anger problem. And they had a whole anger management class to try to fix this. But we can see that as the more we attach to our material senses and try and enjoy without Krishna, the angrier we can get at whatever disturbs our sense gratification. And I'm sure we've all felt that ourselves at some time, that some material anger will come and it sends like poison throughout your body. You can actually feel it going throughout your system. So it's very, very, very contaminating, whereas the transcendental anger is purifying and enjoyable. But here it's described that this anger, this yoga of anger, is considered part of bhakti yoga, which is surprisingly. But yoga means to connect, and this anger is a very intense emotion towards Krishna. So it helps you remember Krishna, therefore it is part of the yoga system, because the more you remember Krishna, the more you become attached to Krishna. So this is a type of intense remembrance, which is therefore very, very purifying. I was also in the temple when Prabhupada told a story. There was some discussion going on in India, I'm not sure where, outside of Vrindavan, that there was a bunch of sages and people talking all about Krishna, how wonderful and how beautiful he is, and how he's adorned with so many jewels and bracelets and crowns, and the thief was thinking, that sounds like an interesting little boy. I could use those jewels for myself. And he was thinking intensely, I need those jewels. I need to see this Krishna. I need to see Krishna. And very intensely thinking that I want to see Krishna because I want those jewels. So therefore he journeyed to Vrindavan. And sure enough, he ran into little baby Krishna playing in the yard. He came up to him and said, oh, you little boy, you're so beautiful. He's glorifying the little boy and saying, your jewels are so nice. Why don't you just give me some of those jewels? And then Krishna was thinking, Prabhupada said, I don't think my mom would like that, Prabhupada said. But then he was thinking, oh, this man, he so intensely wants my association. So he actually gave the thief some jewels. And the thief, Prabhupada said, later became a devotee. So we can see that this, even being a thief, but that intense eagerness to see Krishna was turned into love of Krishna eventually. So we can see how potent this devotional service is. So very, very much purifying. But sometimes we can, even as devotees, I know it happens sometimes, you get angry at Krishna. You go, why'd you do this to me, Krishna? Why'd you put me in this situation? You know, why? You can maybe call him some names. But quickly, because we are devotees of Krishna, quickly we can remember that, oh, this is Krishna's mercy. It should have been much worse. This is just a little dot of what I deserve. You are the supreme. I'm simply your servant. So this response comes naturally for the devotee. It might be that you're angry for a little while, but then Krishna, seeing your understanding of that, oh, I'm just your servant, then he dismisses maybe those that pouting of his little neophyte devotee. So Krishna's very kind. This attitude is really important that we have, that Krishna, whatever you do, is your mercy. But Prabhupada also tells a story that those non-devotees, like in the World War, I forget which one he said, World War I or World War II, probably both of them, that in Europe, many of the ladies were praying to the Lord, saying, oh, please, you know, he's sending my son off to war. Please, God, protect him. Send them back home. Send them back home. Please, the Lord, please. But then he didn't. And many of them didn't come home. And so therefore, they were very angry with Krishna. And they actually, Prabhupada said, they became atheists because of this. So this is anger, which makes you angry and bewildered, and then you forget Krishna, and you fall down into the blazing fire of material existence. So this is the difference on the attitude that we have towards Krishna. We have to learn the art of meditating on Krishna. That's what's required to attain Krishna's real mercy and to, like here, going back home, back to Godhead. So this meditation is not easy in the material world. We have so many distractions every day from beginning to end, and Maya keeps thinking of new ones to create to make us even more distracted. A lot of it's on that little phone that's in your pocket right now. So we have to be aware that we have to really hang on to Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet, because he's customized a handicap system for us here in Kali Yuga. He says, okay, you can just move your tongue and chant, you can move your feet and dance, you can move your tongue and take prasadam. So this is a process that Prabhupada enhanced also with the deity worship. Just like this festival, I saw the younger generation, Kamala Manjari and her sister, were making all these such nice decorations. And it's nice that it's ahead of time, too, so we can really enjoy them for more than just one day. You know, it gives you the mood of, you know, bumblebees and the honey and the pulp and Balaram. So this is the kind of meditation we want to distract us from all the Maya. So we have to realize that Prabhupada has given us, and Lord Chaitanya has given us a wonderful way to wash away all this contamination that we get so easy here in the material world. But Prabhupada, he was expert in avoiding these distractions by being so intensely engaged in Krishna's service. He may have had some distractions in Vrindavan before he came. Maybe some monkeys stole his shoes and somebody was a little loud, the kids were too noisy, but think of the distractions he came when he came to New York. And there he was warned, you know, just that you're going there and trying to take Krishna to this dirty place and to give them, you're just trying to wash coal. You know, how do you think you're going to get anywhere? But Prabhupada proved them wrong, because constantly he was meditating on his spiritual master's instructions. Just go to the West, give Krishna to them, and this Maha Mantra will purify them and will wash away all the sins so that they can understand who they really are. He was ridiculed for this, but he proved them wrong, because he was so had the power and mercy of his spiritual master running through him. And Prabhupada not only was able to focus because he had that power empowerment, but he was able to multitask so many things, not just focus on one thing, but he focused on how many things just to start this movement and to continue it going. So this is something that is a perfect example for us. And he wanted us to follow in that example, and he pushed us when we think, at one point we're thinking, oh, we're doing so much book distribution, yeah, we're so great. Then he would say, now double it. Prabhupada was unstoppable, and he wanted us to be unstoppable. And then sometimes we would think, oh, yeah, everything's going so nicely, you know, it's so peaceful being here in Krishna consciousness. And then he would say, no, you need more anxiety for Krishna. Do this, do that, spread this, go expand here. And we were thinking, oh, Prabhupada, you know, what? You know, how can you do this to us? But that's what we needed. And then sometimes some people would say, you keep us so busy, I can't even chant my 16 rounds. He says, then sleep less. So Prabhupada was very determined to make us focused on just spreading Krishna consciousness and pleasing him. Now we see that Jai and Vijay, they're on their mission. They're being sent off on their mission. And it's been authorized by Krishna, as we heard yesterday. It's been stamped, approved, and also a lot of security protection plan is there that, don't worry, you're going to come back in a very short amount of time, and you're going to get purified. So this is, now go and fight, fight me. Go to the material world, and I want to have a really good fight. So this is just one of the rasas that Krishna organizes and maps out. Because he likes reciprocation of love in so many different varieties and tastes. He loves when devotees are sarcastic with him. They love him when they neglect him or when they brood over him or when they tease him or when they're angry with him. You name it, and probably there's a lot more that we haven't even understood and probably never will. Because Krishna is so wonderful. And he's, of course, the source of all variety. Prabhupada tells a story, it's a cute little story, about how even kings, they like the variety. They don't want to just be sitting there all day, giving out judgment. And sometimes they would have jesters. They would hire jesters for their entertainment. And there was one jester for this king. His name was Gopal Ban. And he was a pretty expert jester. And so the king called, Gopal Ban, come here. I have a question for you. And he said, yes, king, how can I serve you? What would you like? He goes, I have a question. I want you to answer this. He says, what is the distance between you and an ass? And Gopal Ban got up, started walking towards the king, and said,
About 3.5 feet.
And go. The king laughed, Prabhupada laughed, everyone laughed. Because he could get away with it. He had a license for this, And he needed some laughter. He needed some variety. So in the same way, Krishna needs some variety, he needs some little anger at him and a nice good fight. So there are many characters that we read about in the Vedas that were expert in spicing up their relationship with Krishna, a little chili here and there, a little ginger. And of course there were the demons like Jarasandha and Shishupal. They had like a bee in their bonnet, they from birth and from even, they were just like, this Krishna just, drives me crazy. I gotta get him back, revenge. Shishupal, he was born very ugly. He had, I think, three eyes and four arms, and everyone was like, ooh, what do we do with this character? And then there was a voice from the sky saying, whoever puts him on his lap, all these ugly features will go away, but that person's going to be the one that kills him. And so Krishna was visiting one time, and they were passing this creature around and put it on his lap, all the features went away, and they go, oh, but Krishna, how could you be so mean that you're going to kill this my son, my poor little Shishupal, And so Shishupal, you can imagine, all his whole lifetime is thinking, this guy is going to kill me. And he was always after him. And then at the very end, he gets some mercy every once in a while. But then Krishna said, okay, it's about time to finish him. And at the Rajasuya sacrifice, Shishupal took the advantage of when he was, saw that he was being worshipped instead of himself. He started blaspheming him, insulting him like so badly that they had to hold back the Pandavas because they just wanted to clobber him really bad. But then Krishna was sitting back there laughing and just, smiling and counting, because when it comes to the 100th time, he says, enough of this guy, and there goes his head. So Krishna enjoyed that much more than Shishupal did, that's for sure. And then, of course, there's Pondraka. Pondraka, he was a real jerk. He thought he could beat Krishna and pasted some arms on him. One time, everybody knows Mother Bhakti. Mother Bhakti is Brahma Tirtha's wife. Very nice, respectable lady, you know. One time in Miami, we made her Pondraka, and we pinned arms on her, and we gave her a chakra. I remember the chakra, and she didn't have much time to practice, so we wrote her lines on the chakra. She was going like this, saying her lines. I'll never forget it. Anyway, if you know Bhakti, it's kind of funny. Anyway, so Pondraka, he was a funny-looking guy, and he was saying, yes, you surrender to me, and then Krishna, yeah, everyone was laughing at this character, and he said, yes, I'll surrender my Sudarshan, and off with his head, too. And then we get to an interesting person. His appearance day is coming up on Friday, and that's Balaram. He has, like, a little anger problem also, a transcendental anger problem. There's that time when his anger was challenged. He was on pilgrimage, I believe, in Naimisharanya, and he was at an engagement where he walked in and everyone stood up to worship him except for Rama Harshan, who was sitting on a high seat being worshipped also and thinking him so great. And he didn't get up. And Balaram, the anger fuse went off. And he just said, who are you? You're so audacious. Why aren't you standing up? Da, 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 da. And he knew his background, and he said, you know, this is not proper. And then he took a blade of grass and killed him with a little blade of grass. And then everyone went, oh, you shouldn't have done that. This is not proper. You know, your anger was out of, it wasn't, you know, thought of, it wasn't proper. We just gave him a benediction that he could live forever, a long life, and now what are we going to do? And you've got to fix this situation. And Balaram, he goes, okay, I realized I was a little out of control. So he did fix it. He said, since his son is here, I give him the benediction. He lives forever, and I will go on pilgrimage. And so he went on pilgrimage. And it atoned for that. And the sages said, I think you should do one more thing. I think you should go kill the demon Balavala. And so he did. He went, this Balavala was a horrible demon. He had red hair like this, and he would pass urine and stool all over the sacrificial things and make it smell horrible. And so Balaram went in there and the demon was flying in the sky, and he took this plow and just dragged him down, killed him on the spot. So Balaram can use his anger for good things also. And then, of course, the famous chess match, that's when his anger just went tops. It was said that he looked like the ocean on a full moon day. The waves were like tsunamis, and he became red and fiery, and he just couldn't take it that he was being cheated. He's not a very good chess player, but this guy was cheating like crazy again and again. And so he ended up finally taking care of Rukmi also. And then again with the Jamuna, he was enjoying with the gopis and wanted to bathe and frolic in the river. And Jamuna said, you're a little intoxicated here, a little bit too much of this honey. And these, as you see, these bee things up here on the roofs, a little too much honey been dripping out. So she said, no, I'm not going to come. I don't want to be part of this. And then he took his plow again, dragged her forward. And she was shaking. I said, all right. So Balaram, at the final part of Kurukshetra, he got a little bit control of his anger because he was there when Duryodhan and Bhima were fighting, and Krishna was intervening, explaining how to kill, a little illegally, how to kill Duryodhan. And Balaram was thinking, he was getting angry. He said, okay, I'm out of here. I just can't handle this. And so he went off. He left, and he went to Dwarka. So Balaram, Kichai. And so many nice pastimes of Balaram. So Srila Prabhupada has made our lives very simple. He's teaching us how to become lovers of Krishna in a favorable way, very simply, getting ourselves to become very much absorbed in Krishna's service. He loves it when we're 24 hours a day absorbed. And of course, the complementary chanting of Hare Krishna to all of our service makes it more potent for ourselves, and it attracts Krishna. So it begins with coming here in the morning, and when Krishna wakes up, we're there. And we get to see him the very first thing when he wakes up. And we get to dance for him, and we get to sing for him, and then we get to sing his glories and chant our prayers to him and worship his beloved Srila Prabhupada. And then during the day, we get to chant Hare Krishna, do our service. We get to come and see him, how he's dressed. Try to implant in our minds. I know I have like a little game I play with myself, and sometime during the day I think, okay, what did the deities have on today? And I have to go back and think and meditate. You know, how well did I look at the deities? Do I pass a test? Many times I don't. I have to come back and look again. But it's a perfect process, perfect and complete, how to remember Krishna, because here it's just stressing that remembering Krishna is the qualification. Just thinking of him somehow or other, it cleanses us of all of our past sinful activities, which who knows will fill how many volumes of books. So we should latch on to this process of bhakti yoga in a favorable way, and please Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. So anybody have any questions or anything they'd like to add? Or maybe another pastime of anger. Oh, also Gandhari. Gandhari, she was angry at Krishna. First of all, because she knew he was God, and he said, well, you know, why don't you stop this war from happening? Why is this happening? Well, you should stop it. And then she was really angry. I think Manmati mentioned the story the other day when Duryodhana was going to become benedicted by Gandhari's glance to become solid as iron, his whole body. But then Krishna came and said, oh, no, you can't go there naked. Here, put this around your thighs. And when Gandhari found out it was, of course, Krishna who messed up her program, she was really angry and cursed Krishna and said that your family are going to kill themselves. You're just going to suffer. They're going to suffer and they're going to kill themselves. And Krishna goes, okay, that's my plan anyway, because I don't know what to do with these Yadavas. They're so powerful. I don't know what's going to happen with them, how to bring them back. So, yeah, Krishna has a plan, and sometimes here we see Jaya and Vijaya have their role to play. Gandhari has her role to play. I think Gandhari was also very upset, although she couldn't see what was going on in the dice match, but she could understand that these men, they're a bunch of wimps. Why don't they do something? Why don't their husbands do something? Why doesn't these other people, the crews, do something? So, so she was a pretty feisty lady. So anybody have anything they'd like to mention? There's so many nice pastimes. Okay, so we can go about our service to Srila Prabhupada. Well, it looks like Pundarik's trying to...
Well, I just wanted to comment that... thank you for sharing some of the pastimes of Lord Balaram. I had also witnessed like material anger at God. My brother left the planet untimely, and so I got to witness my mom, right, being so angry at God. Right? And at one point, I used to just watch her she had a good friend that would come over and just even help her get dressed, you know. And I used to just kind of sit on the edge of the bed and just watch their exchanges. And at one point, you know, a couple of weeks into it, it really bothered me that she was angry with God, you know. Mm-hmm. My brother had already passed. There's not anything you can do. So my preoccupation now became like, she can't be mad at God. You know, somehow this has got to shift, you know, or change. And so I remember once she laughed, like just for a second, when her and her friend was, you know, dealing with each other. And immediately, as soon as I saw like a smile, you know, on her face, I just kind of like a flower on the wall, you know, I just burst forward and I said, "You see, there is a God." Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I was asked to go to visit Rose Forcash's mother, who was dying in Fort Lauderdale, and Shama Priya, and I went up there, and we put a tape recorder of Prabhupada next to, she wasn't conscious, but we put a tape recorder there, and the lady next door was dying, but she was saying, "Why me, God? Why me? Why me?" She was really angry at God, and I was thinking, that's not good, you know. You know, luckily, I think maybe she heard Srila Prabhupada, but yeah, you know, some people, you know, really condemn God there. I mean, they think of God, I guess, in some way. I don't know how much it counts, though.
Well, she didn't become an atheist, so that was good. She's actually very dedicated to her Christian faith. So.
That's good.
Yeah.
Pundri?
Mahabharata War, I think, what is it, Dhritarashtra was angry at Bhima. They had an iron statue built of Bhima, and he embraced that iron statue, instead crushed it. And there was another past display of anger by Gandhari, you know, when she took off her covering of her eyes. No, maybe not. Anyway, but then it just came to my remembering that Lord Chaitanya also exhibited great anger against Jagai and Madai. So I think Narottam Das Thakur sings Krodha Bhakta Dveshi Jane. There's a proper utilization for anger is to utilize it against the demons like that, those who are envious of the devotees.
But Nityananda said, wait, Lord Chaitanya, this isn't the time for your real weapon is your mercy in the holy name. So he was checked. Don't kill him. Okay, so we can go about our...
Just one more question. You sort of answered it with that last comment about mercy is sometimes the weapon. How can we tell the difference between our anger and this righteous anger that Krishna wants us to have?
The difference between mercy and what?
Oh, I think you just answered it again. I was asking how can I tell the difference between my anger and the righteous anger that Krishna wants me to have? But I think you just said it.
It's going to take practice. Sometimes we might see it as some retaliation on Krishna and us, but devotees quickly see that this is mercy. I deserve more. I deserve much more pain for all the suffering that because I've forgotten you. But if we remember Krishna, then it doesn't affect us so much, and we see it as, yes, this is your mercy. So it takes practice. We have to check ourselves. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Krishna Balaram ki jai.